Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be with you, to worship you, to call out to you, and to hear your voice. Lord, we pray that as we continue to worship you, you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would touch our minds. God, that you would cause us to hear your voice. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you remember at the beginning of December, I asked a question, what question would you ask, or what question do you think you'll ask when you get to heaven? What will you ask God? And you gave me a ton of responses. And I'm excited to finally begin to look at these questions. And these questions fell into several categories. And what fascinated me is that the category that had the most questions wasn't suffering like I thought it would be. Instead, it was about how we live our lives. Listen to some of these questions. Did I please you? Did I do everything I could for God? Was I close to the divine plan you had set out for me? And several of the nuances around these basic questions about how I lived include things like, what should I have done to make more people aware of you? What could I have done to make you happier? How can I serve you, or what can I do for you? But my most favorite question of this sort of questions was this. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? It's on here. They said, though, seriously, did I make a difference? Did I make a difference? Will I be remembered? All of these questions kind of lead to the overall question that we're going to deal with today is, did I do it right? Did I do it right? It's not up there, is it? Okay. What I really want to impress upon you as we delve into these questions over the next few weeks is you who are attending are the ones who asked these questions, because they were the questions that were on your mind. But these questions are questions that everyone is concerned with, not just those who attend church, but those who don't attend church, not just for those who are actively seeking God or spiritually active in their life, but for those who are not spiritually minded. They're asking those questions. Do I make a difference? Did I do life right? Everyone wonders to some degree or another, did my life matter? Success can be seen at several levels when we ask this question of life. We can look at life from a financial view. Did I make enough money? Did I have enough left over? Did I have a big enough house and the toys that are supposed to go with it? Or we can look at it from a relational perspective. Did I have friends? Did I have some deep friendships? Did I treat others well, or was I only concerned about myself? But did I do life right is really asking a relational question of God. Did I do your will, Lord? Hopefully more often than not. Well, maybe at least some of the time. Did I do it at all? I think being in God's will has a general will. There's a general will of God, and then there's a much more specific will of God. With the children, I really sought to emphasize the general aspect of this question. Did you live according to God's will? Did you have an active relationship with God? Have you actively loved God? By being in God's Word so that you can know God better, not just now, but through the years to come? Or are you still living off of what you learned from Sunday school as a child? Do you speak to God on a regular basis and listen for God's voice or response? Or are you only doing that during our prayer time on Sunday morning? Do you seek to worship God during the course of your day as well as with other brothers and sisters in Christ, like we are right now on a regular basis? In general, have you actively loved God in these and other related ways throughout your life? And then another aspect of living in God's general will is, have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you comforted the suffering and hurting? Have you helped the downtrodden? Have you given a help up to those who have fallen? Have you shared with those who are far from God about God's love for them? For parents, are you bringing your children up to know God and to worship God? And if we're honest, this is not always an easy thing to manage. For kids are not a blank slate, but little people, sometimes with big personalities when they come out. And often the most difficult part is that they're watching us in how we live out our relationship with God and with others. Yes, the successes and the failures. And learning from what they see us do, not from what we tell them to do. So in living in God's general will, have you actively loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you loved God? Answering these questions honestly will give you some idea if you have lived in God's general will. If there's an area where you feel you could be doing more, then let me encourage you to do it. I'd love to sit down with anyone who would love to sit down over coffee or, for me, hot chocolate and talk with you about God's general will for your life. And then there's God's specific will for your life that goes beyond loving God and loving your neighbor and really following the Big Ten, not the football teams, the Ten Commandments. As I've shared before, a part in living God's specific will for me was to answer the call to pastoral ministry. The one question I asked myself that helped me to act upon what I felt God was specifically asking me to do was this: when I am 80 or 90 years old, will I be able to look back on my life and be able to say, I think I did everything that God had asked me to do? That was the question. And so as I looked on my life at 80 or 90 years old and thought about this thing that God was asking me to do, I said, if I don't do this, and God had knocked a number of times, I don't think I could be happy with my life. I couldn't say that I felt I had done everything God had asked me to do. I remember an older mom shared with me during that time that her son had felt called into ministry at a younger age, and he was now living into his 50s, feeling that it was too late, and that not only was God, and that he was disappointed in himself for not following God's specific will for him. I do not want to, nor do I think anyone here would want to live into that kind of disappointment. Do you? No. And although you may have never felt called to full-time vocational ministry, we are all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're not involved in some type of ministry to other Christians or other non-believers, if you're not, then you're not fully living into God's will. God does give us abilities and passions that can be used for ministering to others and helping those who don't know God to become more intimate with God. My questions for you are, what are you doing now in the ministry of the Church of God? What are you doing to share God's love with those who are either growing up in their faith or do not have an active or intimate relationship with God? What are you doing? You see, we're all called to some specific type of ministry. And if you cannot look back on your life and see that you have been a part of some different ministry teams, then I don't think you have fully lived into God's will for your life. God doesn't call us to be consumer Christians, and yet that's what many Christians do. Well, let's see what this church is doing. Let's see what that church is doing. Well, maybe I'll watch this preacher or that preacher. It's all about what I want. It's not about what you're doing for God. God doesn't call us to be consumer Christians, but to be in ministry to other people in various ways, using your gifts and your talents. Now, several of the questions were asked were similar yet different. Can you tell the difference between these two questions? What could or should I have done? Question one. And question two, what can I or how can I serve you? What's the difference? Come on, an English teacher. Okay. The first one is past tense. What could or should I have done? And the second question is present or future tense. What can I or how can I serve you? Friends, it reminds us all that we cannot change what you have done or not done in your past for God. We can't change it. You can't do anything about it. The water has already flowed under the bridge and is gone. The missed opportunities to know or love God, studies that you could have participated in, days, weeks, even years of not opening up the Word of God, seasons of life where you just simply sat in the pew. Those have happened and they're gone. The missed opportunities to show love for God and loving your neighbors, those opportunities have come and they are gone. You cannot change what has already happened. So this begs the question, what can you do now? How can you know and love God better now? How can you show the love of God to your neighbor now? There was a guy whose very close friend had died while they were yet young men. Because of his close relationship with his friend, after his death, he helped take care of his friend's mother until her death. And then it would be years later that he would put into words on a paper to share about this special friend with others after his death, even though he was already sharing about his friend's death in the present. The Apostle John would write these words about his friend Jesus. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent or of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And then he writes these words. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. It was Jesus who was full of grace and truth. John recognized that our God is a God of grace. Grace is the Lord's favor, freely extended to give away, to give himself away to others. Grace is the Lord's favor, freely extended to give himself away to people. Have you ever been talking with someone and they lean into you? Or maybe somebody else has been talking and or sharing a story and you lean into them? God's grace is like that. It's God's favor always leaning toward us, leaning into us. And that's good. And that's good. It's because of God's grace that we need not fear God's answer to the question of, did I do life right? Because God loves us deeply. When the prodigal son lost his way and spun his wheels, the father didn't reject him, but engulfed him in his fatherly love when he returned home. When Peter rejected Jesus three times, Jesus didn't reject Peter, but loved him and restored him, leaning into him through forgiveness. You see, we're all on a journey with God. You, me, those that are here, those that are not here. And in a journey, we can get sidetracked. And God knows that. Living in God's will is like working our way down the mighty Mississippi. It's a mile wide in places. And being in God's will allows us to drift from one side of the other. But our goal is to be in the center of God's will. We know at times in our lives where we have docked our ship. We have traveled away from the center of God's will to the side, or even have left the main river and traveled up feeder rivers far away from the center of God's will. God knows that. And it's in these times that God's grace leans into us and beckons us to come back to the center. Friends, God created you, a special and unique person. Beautiful are you in the eyes of God. God wants to continue to make something beautiful of your life. God wants to continue to draw you into the center of His will, not just for a time, not just for a season, but for the rest of our days. God beckons you to seek both His general and specific will for your life. And when you're done in this life and you get to heaven and you ask, did I do life right? It really won't matter, because God will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let us pray. God, we're grateful that your forgiveness is everlasting, that you have even already provided a way for us to come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, here in our midst, I know that many of us are in different places on our journey with you. And I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. Lord, that you would make something beautiful of our lives to your glory. And Lord, may we hear your sweet voice helping to guide and direct our days. In Jesus Christ's holy and precious name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.